This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. This is the final episode of our mini-series on perimenopause this month, Life Doesn't Pause. And when I kicked it off at the start of March, I was joined by consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Pramitha Damodaran, and she's back in the studio to wrap it up. For us today to bookend it by looking at brain health during perimenopause as well as beyond. Now, if you are experiencing brain fog, quite commonly, do you feel that, maybe getting worse than usual? Do you find yourself being really forgetful, but maybe you're chalking it up to stress and fatigue due to all the things that you're juggling in daily life? The thing is, if you're a woman in your 40s, this is all probably very, very normal. But are you thinking of perimenopause as an important factor in all of these brain issue, memory issues that you're dealing with? Hormone changes can have an effect on the brain. They're actually linked. What we want to find out is how they're linked. Should we be worried about things like dementia? And are these kinds of brain effects permanent over the next, many years that women will be living? So is this thing called menopause brain real? And do call us with your questions. 03-7733-2900 is the number to call. You can also WhatsApp our U-Mobile number 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Pramitha, thank you so much for joining me today. How
thank you for having me.
So maybe we can talk about what women in perimenopause are experiencing in their daily lives. What kind of cognitive changes would they be experiencing?
Well, one of the things that I think we all need to realize that, we talk about perimenopause and we think it's all estrogen, ovary. I mean, it's stuck in our brain. It's estrogen and ovary. But we need to understand that that ovary supplies hormones to all parts of the body. And one of the most important parts it actually supplies hormones to is actually the brain. And the brain has got all these estrogen receptors in the brain, which is wildly working for a woman. And, we need estrogen like we need energy in the brain. It's that brain energy that we need. Mm. It keeps the brain cells active. We have what we talk about, neurons, dendrites. It keeps them all working where there's a lot of synapses. It joins, it clicks, it makes us, think correctly. It makes us function and do the right things. And that's what estrogen actually does in the brain. But what happens is the fact that as the estrogen levels come down, these areas don't start working. And even though we associate things like hot flushes or mood swings and we say it's ovarian and it's estrogen, it actually stems from the brain. So, hot flushes, the hippocampus, the memory area, the mood area in the brain, the verbal connection area, everything is actually the brain. Mm. So when the estrogen levels change and come down, these areas don't work very well. There is an area that is a temperature regulation area. That doesn't work. And then you get your hot flushes. Mm-hmm. So, the estrogen is so important for the brain. But what women actually, we use the word brain fog or this brain cloudiness. And it's actually because they get this reduced processing speed. It doesn't process very well. Mm-hmm. And the verbal memory, for example, let me tell you what happens to me. So here I am, being able to multitask like crazy. So I'm running this clinic and then suddenly in between patients, my nurse would come to me and say, this person's called in and has this problem and another person has called in and emailed us. And in normal circumstances, I would be able to handle all three events together. Mm-hmm. But now I say, let me think. And this is the reality. It's happened to me quite a few times. And I'll say, thank you. Let me just think about it, And I may be able to give my nurses the answer 20 minutes later or 30 minutes later, but my brain is not processing at that moment, okay? And that's what it is. And when you understand what's happening, then it's okay. But when you don't understand it, then you feel slighted. You feel like, oh my God, you're losing that multitasking ability. You know, you're going crazy, you know, and it depends on how your psyche is and how you feel about it. You really can feel very down about it. So the other area is the fact that you forget words. And you know what the words are that you forget? It's the nouns. You forget, you know, I left that thing there. You know that thing? You know that long thing there that is used to maybe, you know, push something into the wall? You know, you forget that word.
Yes.
But if you calm down, it comes back to you in the next 5 minutes. You know, ah, okay, I left the hammer on the table. But that's what it's all about. So, you know, you lose these things. So it's not... it's not the fact that, you know, it's a bad thing. It's just the fact that you're not, it's not clicking as you would like it to click. Some girls actually feel it in the, as what, premenstrual syndrome, you know, it's part of the PMS, because just before your periods, again, your estrogen can dip a little bit. And when that estrogen dips, then you actually feel this, you know, the forgetfulness, the memory changes, the hot flushes. And then your periods come back and you feel, ah, I'm on top of the world, back again, I'm okay. So that's that swing that actually happens.
All right. For me, I forget names.
Yes,
the most important people's names. My husband, my son, my cat. But how about sleep? That's sort of regulated by the brain as well.
Absolutely.
That's affected.
So important. So sleep. Now, you know, let's face it, you get a good night's sleep. You are working overtime the next day. You know, everything clicks, everything works well. But if you get disturbed sleep, and then things are just not going to work. And unfortunately, as we get older, we need to sleep. So, you know, being a doctor and as a medical officer, and you're running calls like crazy, alternate nights you're on call, the next day you can perform like normal. But then all doctors will tell you that as we get older and older, we need that sleep, because otherwise by 3 o'clock the next day, we're all, you know, all flagging out and we can't work. So sleep's really important. And I don't look at the number of hours that you sleep. I actually look at that quality of sleep. So one might say that they sleep 7 to 8 hours, but actually get disturbed sleep. Or you can get this knockout 4 to 5 hours of sleep and you're on the go the next day. So sleep, definitely very, very important.
And if you're not getting a quality sleep, that's going to affect all your brain fog.
It just brings everything down.
But that's a problem when women experience this and not really being able to put a finger on what's happening. And it's going to feel like it's affecting competence at work, productivity.
Absolutely.
You're being judged, right? And it must be difficult to sort of figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely. And I think conversations like this is very important, because it's understanding what's actually happening and what they can do as short-term measures to correct it, you know, sleep hygiene, you know, stopping the coffee earlier in the day, or, you know, not exercising at night, small things that, you know, make you wind down towards the end of the day, that makes you hopefully get a good night's sleep, trying to get a break, trying to take some time off, trying to, you know what's you. And I always think that that's really important. Knowing, you know, instead of, you know, you've done a great job looking after the family and everyone around you, but now it may be time for you to take that space to know what's there in it for you and how to look after yourself. You know, the self-care becomes very important, because then your productivity actually improves, not only at work, but even at home. So that, you know, taking a break is really, really important.
When we have, you know, done these few shows on perimenopause, it's been repeatedly said that perimenopause is that period around menopause. It can range, like you said, for different women. It can be up to 10 years before you actually experience menopause, right? So when are we talking about then if we take that longest time frame, are we talking about women potentially having these brain changes for 10
yes.
years?
Well, yes, unfortunately. But again, not everyone's going to have it as bad for 10 years, right? I mean, there might be some who might experience it in the beginning and then do something right and then everything becomes okay. There might be some who might not recognize it and only recognize it a bit later and then do something about it, because every one of us is very different. And we are looking at hormones being the only thing that may be affecting that phase. But let's face it, women are going through a lot during their 40s. I mean, whether you are married or not, or whether you have a family or not, you are probably working, you are dealing with stresses at work, you are probably dealing with stresses at home, children might be leaving, children might be teenagers and having problems of their own. I mean, there might be family problems that are going on, there might be financial issues that are going on. COVID didn't help, mm-hmm. you know. So you are then, you know, taking a woman who is handling all this, plus her hormones changing. So that takes a lot, okay? And so we can't actually only blame hormones. We have to look at the woman as a whole and see where else we can work on to actually help her through this phase. But the longer you have, I mean, as long as you are still having some sort of periods, it is still very protective for the brain. So in my, you know, what I do tell my women is that even your perimenopause is still going on for some time, think about it as good news, because those occasional months that you do get your periods, you're still getting estrogen for the brain that is, you know, very, very useful.
Mm. But then, you know, when a woman finally goes into menopause, does that mean your brain problems? that doesn't seem like a good sign.
Well, okay. So the honest truth about it is that we tell everyone that it is temporary. But because of the fact that usually after some time, things do get better. Now, will it get completely better? Or will it be like a halfway point? Now, that's again very difficult. Okay, it also depends on that woman and how she sort of handles it and moves on. Now, women are also very adaptable individuals. So, for example, if you're a high-functioning woman and dealing with 10 things on the table at one go, you might then learn to deal with less. And you might learn to deal with 5 things. And then understand that you can only handle 5 things. So now, and you would be happy with that and learn to be happy with that. So now you're slowing down, actually. But is that bad or is that good? Now, it all depends on that particular woman. And it's very difficult for us to answer that, right? So it's whether it is acceptable for her. So it's understanding what's going on, or just taking a fact that, okay, I can handle 5 things now, let me do this. And maybe later I can slowly add on 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Because most times this is not permanent. It is a phase that you go through when the estrogen levels come down, and then you sort of cope with it a little bit better, and then you go on.
Mm. We will go for a quick break and come back to look at the risk of dementia, because I think that is a fear that many women have when they start experiencing forgetfulness, trying to find that word, not knowing what they walked into a room for, and if it prolongs, how much of a risk of developing dementia is there? Please call us with your questions, 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp our U mobile number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Pramitha Damodaran in the studio. We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shawik, and my guest in the studio with me today, consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist, Dr. Pramitha Damodaran. We are wrapping up our mini-series on perimenopause and we are looking at brain health today. Call us with your questions, 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp our U mobile number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. I want to move on from the ups and downs of our estrogen and how that links to brain changes, including causing cognitive issues like forgetfulness, brain fog, problems sleeping, to dementia. Dr. Pramita, can you explain whether perimenopause is actually linked to an increased risk of dementia in later life?
Well, let me put it this way. First of all, dementia usually is after 65, okay? Perimenopause, I can clearly tell you, unless there is a family history of early onset dementia, which is actually very, very, very rare. If there is a family history of early onset dementia, then we would worry about perimenopause and dementia. But generally, we would tell women, don't worry about it, because dementia starts a bit later. All right. And perimenopause, as we just spoke about just now, these thought processes, this firing of the brain that doesn't work at that particular time, usually gets better with time. But yes, it is still a worry, right? I mean, you know, whoever, like you said just now, we walk into a room and think, why on earth did we walk into this room? It's happened to me. I know, you know, we have a bunch of keys in the hand and think, why did we go and pick up those keys? I mean, I'm very famous of, you know, locking up my car and then coming out and thinking, did I put the handbrake on? You know, oh. I know that's me. You know, then I have to go back and check again, but that's me. So one of the easiest ways to actually look at it, and this is what was, you know, taught to me by somebody, is the fact that if you have a bunch of keys and in your hand and you're not sure, why on earth did I go and take those keys and what else I supposed to do with this? Then you're okay. That's just brain fog. Mm. But if you look at those keys and you're not sure what these keys are meant to do, then you're probably looking at dementia. So that's probably the easiest way to actually look at it, you know? Because with dementia, you forget functioning. Mm. With keys, you know what the keys are all about, but you don't know why you took it at that particular time to do something.
And you're still able to question yourself.
Correct.
And check.
Absolutely.
On it.
So that's probably the easiest way to allay fears in a lot of women and men out there.
All right. We'll come back to dementia. I have a few more questions about that. But we do have a caller on the line. Joe, you have a question.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. What's your question?
Okay, so it's regarding on the perimenopause?
Yes.
Is that the name? Okay, right. So I'm 44 right now. And I think after listening to you, I think I am going through that right now. Because usually I get my period like on time, never miss it. Never have irregular period and all that. Mm-hmm. But lately, it's like in 1 month, I could get it two times, like early and end, and then no period. And then now I'm having my period, but it's not like my normal period because it's not the heavy period kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, is this like also part of the beginning of it?
Okay, all right. Any other concerns that you have, any other issues or symptoms you're experiencing as well, changes?
I think just that, and maybe I feel like I can easily gain weight, even though I don't really eat a lot. And the forgetfulness, I'm not too sure if I have that, because I think that didn't change. However, I feel like recently, maybe I face something similar to what you're facing, whereby you want to do something, and then when you get there, and you'll be like,
sure.
I want to cook.
Yeah.
Why am I here? I want to change something. So yeah, that is happening now.
Okay.
Is that perimenopause?
All right. We'll try to answer your question on air, Joe. Is there anything you'd like to clarify, Dr. Pramita?
Thank you for sharing your experiences. But let me just say that with perimenopause, this we call it perimenopause when your periods actually change its cycle. And you get some symptoms. So it sounds like your cycles are changing. And most times it might come a bit earlier, then it comes a bit later. The flow may change, as sometimes it can get it heavy, sometimes it can get it light. But what I would honestly tell you to do, just to make sure that we haven't ruled out any, you know, to make sure that we're not missing out any other gynae issues, that you would need to go and see your gynecologist and get a checkup done just to make sure that nothing else is going on, because that's really very important. And maybe also to run a thyroid test to see there's no thyroid disturbances. And then we look at the fact that this could be actually perimenopause and then go from there.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Joe. And I'm glad that, you know, we prompted somebody to, you know, sort of reflect back on their cycles instead of brushing it off. This gets them to go and see a gynecologist, and that can...
It starts that conversation, I think, which is very, very important.
Yeah. So coming back to dementia that we were discussing earlier and sort of a quick rule of thumb way to know whether you are just experiencing... I will call it quote unquote normal brain fog, or is it really signs and symptoms of dementia? Are we reassured that the changes that the hormones cause to the brain are not permanent?
Well, I don't think I can reassure anyone 100%. I think we need to look at the person as a whole first and see what's actually going on, getting a whole history in and seeing whether, like I said just now, you know, the PMS changes. So let's say that this particular woman has got those PMS changes already in her 30s or in her 40s. And then as she gets older, it gets more intensified. Then you sort of know already that this is probably the hormonal brain fog. But let's say it comes in for the first time. And this is where I find it more difficult to tell a woman, look, it will be okay. But again, going back to sleep, to treating her hot flushes, and if she does get better by just treating all the other areas, then you know that this is not going to be a permanent issue and it might be just related to hormones. So I think that, you know, it is going to be a worry. I mean, I worry about dementia. Let's face it. If I'm not even worried about cancer, I'm worried about dementia because, you know, I know cancer can be cured, but, you know, dementia is scary because I would always be... I would need to be looked after, you know, in other words, you know, I would need a carer. And that, I think, is the most worrying thing for me. So I understand when someone says that, you know, I'm worried that this is dementia. But again, we go back to basics. If it's around the perimenopause, it's probably just the menopausal changes. Dementia, if it's going to happen, we worry about it after 65.
But there is something called early onset dementia.
Family history. So we need to look at family history. So if there is a family history of a close member, father, mother, who gets it, you know, before the age around 50, 55, then eyes wide open. You know what? We say, please go and see a neurologist and get this sorted out because they have certain tests that they can do. And of course, prevention and early, you know, early treatment is always much, much better. Then, yes, we would definitely say, if there is early onset in the family, don't waste your time.
Mm. So coming back to taking this as a golden opportunity, a golden window of opportunity to protect your brain, to do the right things, is menopausal hormone therapy actually something that can help when it comes to brain health?
So there's been a lot of data on menopausal hormone therapy and brain health. And again, let's look at it from different ways, different angles. Number one, we know that menopausal hormone therapy is the recommended treatment for severe, what we call vasomotor symptoms, which means the hot flushes, the night sweats. It is the number one treatment. And if we treat that, we can get you already better with brain fog because it is also the treatment for the mood swings that can come in, the other symptoms like joint pain. So when we make a woman better overall, then she just generally tends to feel much better. So in that sense, yes. Now, we do not recommend menopausal hormone therapy for pure dementia or prevention of dementia because there's not much data. We do know that if you do give it at the perimenopause time, it helps you long term. But we would not give it purely only for dementia. We would give it for other issues. And then, by the way, it would help you.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the way that we actually look at it. We do not like to initiate menopausal hormone therapy for someone who's older, because then she may already have changes in the brain. And these might be already inflammatory changes. And when we give them menopausal hormone therapy after the age of 65, that may actually cause more problems. So we are very strict about the criteria of how we would give menopausal hormone therapy.
So when you say older, you...
I'm looking at 60, 65 and above. Yeah.
All right. We've talked about this before, but I'd like to revisit it again. The concerns over menopausal hormone therapy that have arisen back when it was known as HRT and all those concerns about breast cancer. Can you reassure our listeners what they should know about taking hormone therapy?
Sure. So menopausal hormone therapy has gone a long way. Initially, in the 1990s, it was a big thing. And then in early 2000, 2001, 2002, there was this big study from the US that shot it down. And let me go back. And nowadays, we don't talk about that study because we do feel that that was an ill-conducted study, not conducted very well. But let's just go back to that study. And what they did in that particular study was giving hormones to women between 50 to 80 years. And they pooled all that data and then came up with the fact that it increases the risk of stroke, it increases the risk of breast cancer. And then the whole HRT era sort of crashed, all right? But in the last 20 years, we've analyzed that data in depth. And we have actually then broken it down to women in the 50s to 60s, 60s to 70s, 70s to 80s. And we found that women who were in the 50s to 60s, no increased risk of stroke, no increased risk of breast cancer. And in fact, they actually, the risk of dying is also less because of the menopausal hormone therapy. So with using that data, we are now telling women, please help. If you need the hormones, do not hesitate because it does not actually increase your risk of problems. In fact, it makes you feel so much better. Your quality of life improves tremendously and your risk of dying from a disease actually drops. Because we know that we are still looking at early preventive and early treatment. So if you help yourself at that point, your risk of not only vasomotor symptoms, but also the silent issues that we don't actually pay attention to at that stage, like the risk of diabetes, insulin resistance, your high blood pressure, bone loss, brain health, you started then, you are actually helping yourself a long, long way. And that's what we are trying to tell women. Don't be scared about it. And now we know that the type of hormones, we know exactly what hormones to give you. We know, and there are the, not only do we know the type of estrogen, the type of progesterone to give you, we also know that we also have different ways of doing it. We have the oral tablet. We have the gels. We have the sprays. We have vaginal inserts. So this choice, this whole choice of treatment makes it so much easier to find the right therapy for that particular woman.
When should women go and ask their doctor, about just to explore menopausal hormone
therapy? Well, I think it's not even so much the menopausal hormone therapy, Shirik. I wish that all women would go and have that chit-chat with their doctors.
Just like Joe calling us, right?
Just go for a chit-chat because, you know, it'd be great if you go late 30s, 40s, go and educate yourself. What are things that you need to look out for? What's there in the family history? You know, because that's really important because you might be tip-top condition, but the family history plays a very, very important role. So knowing all these things and trying to work on all that, you know, making sure, again, sleep hygiene, exercise regime, diet, all that very, it's the crucial building blocks of any person who is getting older. You cannot run away from that. You know, and you get that sorted out. And then if you do have trouble, with hot flushes and all that, then we know where to go. But you cannot, you know, you cannot move away from the fact that you need to do your bit. So knowing what to do, how to do it, what are the tests that you actually need? When do I need my mammogram? When do I need my ultrasound? How do I do my pap smear? What blood test do I do? You know, these kind of things play a very, very important role. So this is what we are trying to actually promote with menopausal health. When we look at a woman in their 40s or 50, we're now looking at seeing what can we do to keep this woman as healthy for the next 30 years of her life, next 40 years of her life. Because the average lifespan in Malaysia right now of a woman is 76. In fact, it was 77, and then with COVID, it dropped to 75, 76. But that means that half the women in Malaysia will die before 75, then a good majority will actually go on beyond the age of 75. You need to be healthy. Mm. It's not cheap to be sick these days, you know, economically, mentally. You need to be well. So looking after a menopausal woman, many might think it's only menopausal hormone therapy. It's not. It's the whole thing. It's your lifestyle. It's what to do, how to look at it positively, and then go on.
Mm. But if women do go on menopausal hormone therapy, a big question is, how long do I have to be on?
Well, again, this is a million-dollar question that many patients would ask me. And I would always say that, let me start you on it first. Let's find the right combination for you first. Let's see how that goes, all right? And then we take it a year by year. There is no time limit, actually. But we do insist that everyone at least comes back once a year so that we can do certain tests. We had this whole discussion. We might learn something from the family history that's popped out and it might be relevant. Or we might, then question, does she want to stop it? Does she want to try to stop it? Or does she want to go on, look at the risk and benefits of continuing? We do talk about cutting down doses of the estrogen as we get older. But today, there is no mandatory time limit for menopausal hormone therapy.
Mm. We have a listener who's texted in, I'm age 70, but I still feel very hot most of the time. I had surgical menopause at the age of 48. I removed my uterus and ovaries. How can I overcome this problem? So she's listed out a few things. She takes soya milk, doesn't help, sleeps only 2 to 3 hours the most, taking antidepressants. I feel like I'm having menopause symptoms forever. Please recommend something for me. I feel for her.
Yeah, I know. 70 and already still suffering from the age of 48. I'm surprised that she hasn't cried out for help even earlier. Our hands are tied at 70 with menopausal hormone therapy. But that does not mean that all is lost, all right? There are many other non-hormonal therapies that one can go into. Some of them could be certain antidepressants, but they don't work for depression, but they work to change the neurons in the brain that would cut down the hot flushes. So she actually can get a consult from a gynecologist who deals with it, or even go back to her, whoever the doctor who is giving her antidepressants, and talk about giving an antidepressant that would also work for hot flushes, because there are different types that can do that. But she needs to sleep.
No.
And I think that, you know, we need to find out why she cannot sleep. Too many things on her head. Is it really warm? Would an aircon work? You know, investing in an air condition and sleeping with an aircon, would that work? Does she take coffee at night? I think just, you know, looking at various other angles to try and promote sleep. And if you sleep, maybe that might cut down the risk of hot flushes. Yeah. So I think worth going back to talk to her doctors about it and then going from there.
Do you find that after women have passed menopause, they tend to not see a gynecologist unless there are actual diseases? Do they not do the just general health checks with the gynae?
Yes. So, you know, unfortunately, we are the baby doctors, you know. So once the babies come out, then maybe for the hormones. And then once you hit menopause, they think, and that's it. But that's not it, isn't it? Because we do know that that one third of your life in that post-menopause is very, very critical. So that's the awareness that we are trying to actually push nowadays, because we really need them to come in. Again, just a chit-chat and knowing the genetics and knowing what their lifestyles are like, looking at bone health and getting all these things organized. So I agree, many women don't. But I do see a small shift in that. Again, you know, I'm in an urban hospital, so maybe the awareness is a little bit more. You really want it out there in the smaller towns, in the smaller districts. So hopefully we can get there slowly.
Mm. A final message, Dr. Premita, I think, on brain health for women of all ages.
Well, I think the most important message, and again, it's for any organ in your body, use it or lose it. We need to use our brains, you know. We actually don't use all our brains, every part of our brains, right? And we only use a certain percentage of our brains, but we need to keep that going. So that brain health is so important. So again, going back to the same boring, unfortunately boring story of eating right, sleeping and exercising actually promotes that energy in that brain. You need to keep it stimulated, whether you're 10 or 20 or 50. So that's what I'm trying to do, trying to keep my brain stimulated, because I think that's really very important. And it doesn't matter whether you're listening to music or you're finding a hobby that you like or you're playing Sudoku. It's finding that, you know, something that you would enjoy doing, because when you start enjoying what you're doing, you get stimulated just by doing it.
My mom, who is in her 70s, is learning Japanese on Duolingo.
Fantastic.
Chasing all her stars. So yes. Yeah, things like that. Yeah. And it's the tools are all out there for
absolutely
us. And Dr. Pramita, thank you so much for sort of wrapping up this mini series for us. If you missed any of them, you can search for our podcast. Just search for Life Doesn't Pause on the BFM website or the BFM app. Dr. Pramita, the modern consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, sharing about brain health during perimenopause. This has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.